Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, November the 29th, the world marks the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. In the midst of the ongoing war in the Holy Land, the local church begins its preparations for Christmas. And renovation work on Michelangelo's famous Pietà sculpture in St. Peter's Basilica concludes as the Basilica prepares to receive pilgrims for the upcoming 2025 Jubilee year. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. The 29th of December is the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian People. The day was established by the United Nations in 1977 and serves as a global reminder of the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people, as well as the continued hope for a peaceful resolution to instability that has lasted for decades. This hope includes the possibility of the two-state solution, which Pope Francis has frequently affirmed his support for, including most recently during his general audience on the 22nd of November, in which he emphasised the importance and the urgency of dialogue and recognition between Israelis and Palestinians. To mark the day this year, Marta Lorenzo, Europe Director for UNRWA, that's the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East, spoke to Vatican Radio's Francesca Merlo, emphasising that although the plight of the Palestinians began decades ago, the last 14 months have seen an unprecedented level of displacement and devastation.
I think we have run out of words to describe the immense suffering of people in Gaza. The situation is catastrophic. And I think right now, with the arrival of heavy rains, low temperatures, just imagine what this would be for a family with small children or people with disability or cancer patients, I don't know. People that are in a very vulnerable situation to lose everything that they have. And what they have is a makeshift shelter. We are also hearing about famine, so this risk is real. It's something that we see on a daily basis. My colleagues told me that mothers cannot breastfeed their babies. I think to the risk of being killed by a strike, we have to add the risk of diseases because there are no enough medical supplies, functioning medical facilities. This is what we mean with catastrophic. The whole humanitarian operations are under a lot of stress, and people do not have resilience anymore.
I can't help but think also of the countless people who have been displaced.
Displacement is not something new for the Palestinians, but the scale of displacement and how displacement is taking place is unprecedented, because in Gaza, nearly the entire population has been displaced multiple times. 84% of Gaza is under evacuation orders. We are talking about 1.9 million people. And every time you get displaced, every time that you become more vulnerable. And displacement is happening not just in Gaza, but also in the West Bank and in Lebanon. So there is a sense of despair. 14 months have passed. And the people who have lost everything and need everything, they really feel abandoned. Where is the international community? This is a question that we get again and again. And this is translated into the very few aid trucks that are entering the Gaza Strip. People are asking us, when is this nightmare going to end?
That was Marta Lorenzo, Director of UNRWA in Europe, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Francesca Merlo to mark the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. Now, in the latest news from on the ground, the Israeli military strikes killed at least 30 Palestinians overnight in the Gaza Strip, most of them in the Nuseirat camp at the centre of the enclave. Medics said that they'd recovered 19 bodies of Palestinians killed in the northern areas of Nuseirat after some tanks pulled back from an area they had raided, and the others were reportedly killed in the northern and southern areas of the Gaza Strip. And again, staying in the Middle East, the patriarchs and heads of the churches in Jerusalem have issued a statement encouraging their respective communities to, quote, fully commemorate the birth of Christ by, again quoting, giving public signs of Christian hope amid the ongoing war in Gaza. This decision follows last year's resolution to forego the public display of Christmas lights and decorations in solidarity with the multitudes suffering from the war between Hamas and Israel. Lisa Zingarini has our report on that.
As Christmas approaches with no signs of a ceasefire in Gaza, the patriarchs and heads of churches in Jerusalem are inviting their communities to celebrate in ways that express Christian hope, but also respect the hardships endured by the Gazawi population victimized by the war. Last year, the church leaders made a joint decision to ask their faithful to refrain from displaying Christmas decorations and lights in public places as a means of standing in solidarity with the multitude suffering from the newly erupted war between Hamas and Israel. However, that announcement led many to think that Christmas celebrations in the Holy Land had been cancelled, with the result, they said in a recent statement, that the unique witness to the Christmas message of light emerging out of darkness was diminished, not only around the world, but also among local Christians. The patriarchs and heads of the churches of Jerusalem are therefore encouraging the faithful to fully commemorate the birth of Christ this year by giving public signs of Christian hope. The celebrations, the statement says, should certainly include upholding the millions of people suffering due to the war in our prayers, reaching out to them with deeds of kindness and charity, and welcoming them as Christ himself has welcomed each of us. In this way, the Christian leaders conclude, we will echo the Christmas story itself, where angels announce to shepherds the joyful news of Christ's birth amidst equally dark times in our region, offering them and the entire world a message of divine hope and peace. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Renovation work in the chapel of the Pietà in St. Peter's Basilica has just concluded. The Basilica office announced the news today with information on new high-tech glass protective panes around Michelangelo's famous Pietà sculpture, along with new lighting. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
As part of the jubilee work undertaken by the Fabrica di San Pietro, the office managing St. Peter's Basilica, the protective glass in the chapel housing Michelangelo's Pietà has been replaced. The previous glass pane installed back in 1973 was designed to protect the sculpture, which had been damaged by a vandal in 1972. The new protection, as described in a statement by the Fabrica di San Pietro, features a system with a high-tech anchoring system made up of 9 shatterproof and bulletproof panes of the highest quality and transparency, all designed by a team of Italian experts following extensive studies. The replacement took just under 6 months and is aimed to give pilgrims and visitors the best possible view of the Marian icon while also providing enhanced security. With the scaffolding removed now, the sculpture is once again fully visible in all its glory. Cardinal Mauro Gambetti, Archpriest of St. Peter's Basilica, said in today's highly delicate global geopolitical context, the faithful are once again able to contemplate the Blessed Mother who offers humanity the Son of God, taken down from the cross and alive through the power of the resurrection. He says the Virgin Mary's offering opens the way to reconciliation of hearts and the building of paths to fraternity and peace. The marble group depicting the sorrowful mother who, in her youthful purity, tenderly cradles her dead son, was sculpted by Michelangelo Buonarroti in 1498 to 1499. He was just 23 years old. The replacement of the 50-year-old glass pane became necessary both for aesthetic reasons due to the natural clouding of the material and structural concerns. The project was conceived, realized, and funded thanks to donations from a group of entrepreneurs and professionals from Italy's Piedmont region. Another element in the renovations is light, the key element of this upgrading work. The Pietà Sculpture Group and the entire chapel have been equipped with a new modern lighting system, completely up to date with the latest generation technologies and components. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Around 30% of the world's population has been exposed to deadly heat waves more than 20 days each year, according to the UN Environment Programme. This and many other global effects of climate change were on the agenda at a seminar yesterday in Rome hosted by the embassies of Cuba, Bolivia and Venezuela to the Holy See. Pope Francis sent a letter to the participants, issuing them a warning, and said that climate change impacts the poorest nations and its signs cannot be hidden or disguised. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
Dominion over nature should not be tyrannical, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost argued. It must be a relationship of reciprocity with the environment. The president of the Pontifical Commission for Latin America stressed that the time to move from words to action is now, and he reiterated the Holy See's commitment to protecting the environment, enumerating examples, like the Vatican installing solar panels and shifting to electric vehicles. Cardinal Peter Appia Turkson, Chancellor of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, echoed Cardinal Prevost's words. The Chancellor emphasized man's vocation in caring for the environment, saying everyone is called to be a co-creator. Cardinal Turkson emphasized that those most affected by climate change are the most vulnerable. He called the way the environment has been treated a tragic and glaring example of structural sin. He underscored the climate emergency is not a hypothetical future, but something man is experiencing firsthand. Emil Scuda, Secretary of the Pontifical Commission for Latin America, pointed out how floods in Brazil, which have swept away entire communities, often do not make headlines, like the natural disasters in Europe. We are an impoverished continent, the secretary stated. But when we sit at the same table, we all have the right to the same space and freedom. She emphasized being poorer does not mean less professional or less qualified. But around the world, organizations are working to implement the principles of Laudato Si. For example, in Venezuela, young people are being educated on environmental sustainability to give them the tools needed to do their part in becoming sustainable. The Deputy Director General for Multilateral Affairs and International Law, Cuba's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, called the COP29 summit response to the climate crisis fragmented and inadequate, since no financial milestone was outlined to offer aid to developing countries. He applied a phrase from Cuban revolutionaries to climate change to stress the need for immediate action. He said, "Tomorrow will already be too late to address what we should have done a long time ago." I'm Kelsey Gussie.
And finally, Pope Francis met today with a delegation from the University in Naples, which is celebrating 800 years since its foundation. He met with medical students at the university and told them that their job goes beyond curing symptoms. Francesca Merlo reports.
Speaking to a delegation of healthcare workers on Friday, Pope Francis highlighted the timeless relevance of the motto that continues to guide medical professionals: do not harm,
non nocere,
take care,
cavere,
and heal,
sanare.
This triad, the Pope explained, remains a guiding light in the field of medicine, and each step offers profound wisdom. Speaking of the first principle, do not harm, Pope Francis emphasized its importance in practice, noting that it calls for a realism that acknowledges the pain and suffering a patient already endures.
Si tratta di non aggiungere danni e sofferenze a quelli che il paziente già sta vivendo.
Reflecting on the second principle, to take care, the Pope reflected that it is God's call. God is near, compassionate and tender, said the Pope, urging all those present to extend this divine style to their patients.
Vicinanza, compassione e tenerezza.
He recounted a personal story from his early 20s when part of his lung had to be removed.
Sì, mi davano le medicine,
yes, they gave me medicine, but what gave me the most strength was the hand of the nurses who, after giving me injections, held my hand. This human tenderness does so much good.
Fa tanto bene.
This principle, the Pope explained, goes beyond treating symptoms. It means caring for the whole person, their body, mind and spirit. Finally, Pope Francis called on medical professionals to emulate Christ, who healed every kind of illness and infirmity.
Gesù, che guariva ogni sorta di malattie.
Healing, he said, is more than a profession. It is a sacred act. Finally, Pope Francis expressed gratitude to those present for their dedication and perseverance, reminding them of their role as educators and healers. A doctor exists to heal from harm. Always care, he concluded.
Accompagnalo fino alla fine.
I'm Francesca Merlo.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for tuning in, and thank you also to Daniele Giorgi in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tolik. Goodbye.